Hi, I'm Heather.
And I'm Brittany.
We are the okayest moms, but we're also creatives, businesswomen, and best friends.
This podcast was created as a community for the modern mom.
We know you're doing your best despite the conflicting messages that you aren't doing it as well as someone else.
We believe in self-care, mom friends as our sanity, and that motherhood looks different for everyone.
Most of all, we believe that you are more than just mom.
So join us as we talk about a range of topics from motherhood to frivolous reality TV and everything in between.
Welcome to the Okayest Moms Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Okayest Moms Podcast. Hey, Brittany.
Hey, Heather.
Happy Pride Month.
Woo!
So today's episode is an interview from our summer series with the Mama Dragons, and they're an organization of moms of LGBTQ plus youth. And one thing that I love about Mama Dragons is that they are a group of, I guess, shall I say, former religious conservative women. I mean, I'm sure some of them are still religious and fairly conservative, but they predominantly come from a Mormon background. And what they have in common is that they all had children somewhere on the LGBTQ plus spectrum, which caused them to change the way that they looked at the world around them and their children. And we just loved their spirit of constantly changing your worldview, which I think we just cannot celebrate enough of, especially right now.
Yeah, totally. They are actually doing a really cool thing. Have you seen this on their Instagram right now where they're going through each of the colors of the pride flag? Like, did you know that each of those colors has a meaning?
No.
Yeah, I didn't either. And they're going through and they're connecting it to LGBTQ plus icon and sharing quotes from them. And it's just like this really beautiful celebration of everything that they celebrate as an organization. It's really cool.
I love that. I mean, to show my own ignorance, I really didn't even know that there were different flags for different
things. No, yeah. I mean, we see the rainbow connected to that, to gay pride all the time, but it actually is inclusive of the whole spectrum. And recently, I didn't know this. I learned this from their Instagram page, which is at the Mama Dragons. They added brown and black for diversity and inclusivity. So they're trying to be more intersectional and include everyone, which is, I think, is really cool.
I love that. Well, it's especially important to be talking about this and timely because today the Supreme Court upheld the Civil Rights Act and included LGBTQ plus rights, deeming that they can't be discriminated against in the workplace, which cancels Trump's latest move to cancel their healthcare funding, which is huge.
It's amazing. So, it's a big win. I feel like
you know what? Whenever I see breaking news now, I just like, oh God, now
my heart
what?
Sinks. It, my heart sank when I saw breaking news.
Just like, what else can it possibly be? Is it the murder hornets? Are they back finally? Is that what? But it was good today. It was so good. It was the little pick me up we needed.
Yeah, definitely.
There's some hope out there.
Oh, God, totally. So we thought this would be a perfect week to share this summer series episode with you guys and gals.
So we talked to two different moms. One is the mother of a gay son, and the other is the mother of a trans girl. And we just loved their stories that they shared. They're both so open and honest about everything. And it was just such an emotional conversation to be a part of and to listen to. And we just loved how open they were because never been in that situation, having been in that situation, to hear what they went through was really eye-opening. And I just love when people share their stories.
Yeah. And they're really beautiful stories too. I mean, obviously with a lot of heartache and a lot of obstacles that they had to overcome, but to get to the point where they are now and to be so supportive of their kids and just letting them be who they are is just really beautiful. And I love this episode. I was editing it earlier and I was like crying again, even though I've heard it all before. It's so good.
Yeah. I think that's something we can all relate to as mothers, whether or not you have a child on the LGBTQ plus spectrum, that every mother will do whatever they can to help their child and make them feel comfortable and successful in the world. And that theme definitely shines through in this episode.
Yeah, definitely. So just a note, like we said, this is a summer series episode. Heather is the one who is speaking with Marion and Rachel. I'm on toward the end, just a little teeny bit. And there's a little bit of audio quality issues, so I apologize for that, but it's none of it is inaudible. Like, you can understand everything. It's just going to sound a little different. So thanks for putting up with us with that.
All right. Well, that's enough of us talking. Let's get to the good stuff. Hi, guys. I am so excited for this session. I'm ready to learn a ton because I know nothing about any of this. I love Mom and Dragon's mission, and I'm so excited to hear more about it and your personal stories as well. So I think, Marion, you're going to start off and tell us what Mom and Dragon's is and what they do and how you got involved with it.
Great. Hey, Mama Dragons is a grassroots organization that started officially about 2014. There were a group of Mormon moms with LGBTQ plus kids who met online, met in different places, and started to chat in a Facebook chat, whatever it was called back then, because of course they've changed the formats over the years. And it just got really big and really long. And then eventually someone made a group. And last year we actually became a nonprofit organization. While we started with our roots in Mormonism, we now have moms of all faiths, no religious background. We are here to support moms. And I think that Brittany has a slide showing our mission statement, and we can share that with you, because that's the most important thing. We're here to educate moms. We are here to empower moms. Most moms are pretty surprised. Well, not all moms. I was shocked when I found out I had an LGBTQ child. Shouldn't have been, but I was.
Well, I'm sure that was so comforting to you to know that there were so many in your same situation of your same faith experiencing the same thing.
It was. It was really, really useful. But yes, ours, as you can see, our mission is to support, educate, and empower mothers of LGBTQ children. Our phrase, the name Mama Dragon. So my story, I started about when my son was 16, he came out to me. And less than 24 hours after him coming out, I found myself on the sofa of a really good friend of mine who happened to be the kindergarten teacher for all of my kids. And she has two gay children. And I'm talking to her and I'm crying and I'm confused and trying to understand and figure out, you know, what to do, because I fiercely love my son. Our faith tradition has some pretty rough teachings about homosexuality and transgender people, and
we draw a pretty hard line.
There, it is. It's pretty conservative. It's pretty strict. And you know, my heart of heart knew that there was nothing wrong with my child at all. And as I'm sitting on my friend's sofa and I'm talking to her about these feelings that I'm having, and I said something about Mama Bear, and then I stopped myself and I said, no. I said, this is way bigger than a mama bear. And she just kind of laughed and she said, well, that's because you're probably a mama dragon. And I'm like, what is that? And so she shared that with me. And in that community, I was able to find so many other women, again, like I said, of all beliefs, of all faiths, who have had to face, especially women of my age. I'm 50 years old. And so I'm old enough. I grew up in the Bay Area in California. So I'm old enough to remember, you know, all of the cultural issues that came up in the 70s and 80s. And then just to clearly know that none of that pertained to my son, that all of these things that I'd maybe heard or And I had gay friends and people that I love, but it becomes a very different thing when it's your child. And I knew that we needed to support him and love him and walk with him on whatever path. I instantly switched from a marriage is between a man and a woman to my son's going to marry whomever he loves. And we're going to be so thrilled about that. And, you know, that's our greatest, fondest wish, is that he will have a life of love and family, just like my husband and I have had in our lives. But that's how I came up with Mama Dragons, or how I found them.
I love it. Rachel, how did you come to Mama Dragons?
So the first place I started looking when I found out that my oldest kid was trans was online, looking for educational resources. And I found lots of communities that were for parents of trans kids, and they were really great. But they didn't understand that faith piece. And so I started looking for something that dealt with both the LDS piece and the LGBT piece. And I came across some support groups that were great and fine, but it wasn't until I, like, they led me to Mama Dragons that I really felt like I found my home. I found my people that understood it the way I understood it. They didn't say, well, we love our kids, but they were fighting for their rights and fighting for them to have, you know, all of the privileges that any parent of an LGBT kid would, but they did understand the complexities that came with our religion and our beliefs.
Got it. That's great. Now I kind of put the cart before the horse there. Let's go back and talk about, tell us about your family. So Marian, I know you have a picture you want to share of your family.
Yeah, yes. Brittany has a picture. Let's see what I ended up popping up. I have, so I'm a professional mother. I joke. This is my family. We have six children. My husband and I dated in high school and fell in love in Los Gatos, California, back in the 80s, way back. And our parents had such beautiful marriages and were so happy. They tricked us into getting married and wanting to have lots and lots of children. They made it look amazing. And so so we did. We jumped right in and started having kids. We were at BYU in Utah. And our oldest daughter, let's see, I can move my little thing around. This is our oldest daughter, Anna, and her husband, Mike, and our oldest grandchild, Olivia. And then we've got Ashley, who has her husband and two boys, but they actually have a daughter. She's 6 months old and spectacular. For those of you out there who are thinking that you may not be able to make it one more day with your under sixes, it's okay. Let them live. I promise it's worth it. Someday they will give you grandchildren and you'll be like, oh, it's fabulous. So much better than your own children. Anyway, so we have three daughters first. This is our next daughter here. She's 22. This is our son, Ford, and then Mac and Will. And we've raised our whole family in our faith tradition now. Now, as things have been changing for us, and we have been transitioning and growing, and our beliefs have evolved quite a bit from where they used to be. We all live in Utah, except for my daughter and her three kids. They live in Baltimore. They're tremendously supportive of their brother. That was one of the beautiful things that I've learned with, I'll call it the 30 and unders, which is a lot of you out there. You don't have a lot of the biases that, let's just say, the 40s and olders may have had, and especially the 50s or 60s and olders. And they've been fabulous with loving their brother and being supportive. There are terrible stories of families who reject their LGBTQ child. And Rachel and I hear those all too frequently. This weekend we were at a conference and there were kids there who have been rejected by, sorry, it's so upsetting, rejected by their families. Or they're not allowed to be around their nieces and nephews or their other siblings. And that's one of the main purposes of Mama Dragons, is if for some reason there's any little part in someone's mind that thinks that that might be okay, but then there's that other part that they know that they love their child, we're there to catch and embrace them and give them the power and information and support to choose their child over any organization, religious, cultural. But that's our family.
Now tell us about your son.
My son is spectacular. So he's amazing. He just graduated from high school. He's headed off to the University of Utah, where he's going to study, at least this week, he's studying chemistry. Who knows? He wants to go to medical school. He's dating. Ever since the day he came out, we just said, listen, you know, date who you love, date who you like, date who you're attracted to. One of the biggest problems with our children being in the closet is that just like as if you stuck one of your kids in the closet, like a literal closet, the closet stunts their growth and development. Being in the closet is not an emotionally healthy place to be. And one of the greatest things we can do for our kids is love them, accept them, let them date, have experiences just like every other kid, developmentally normal things. If everyone else is dating, then that's exactly appropriate for our kids. The Family Acceptance Project is an amazing, amazing project, and it teaches about accepting and rejecting behaviors. And when families are accepting and loving and supporting their children, our children's risk of suicide, other risky behaviors, drug use, so many risky behaviors, it decreases by 8 times.
Oh, wow.
And so how we treat and care for our children, and it may sound really funny to, and I hope that it sounds absolutely crazy to everyone listening that families aren't like that. I hope everyone says, oh my gosh, I would never do that. Perfect. Yay. Good. That's like the greatest news. One of Mama Dragon's missions, we were asked at Facebook this last week, you know, where do you see yourself in 20 years? And the answer was, we hope we don't exist. We would love to this.
For there not to even be a need for it.
Exactly. It would be the greatest thing ever that, you know, that we need. I wish my son had come out younger, but he came out as soon as he felt safe. Mm-hmm. And I'm grateful that he came out when he did. And I'm so grateful for my husband and our family that just were able to love and support him and embrace him. We have great resources in our community, and we attend those with all of our children. We go to a lot of LGBTQ activities.
That's awesome.
With everybody.
Imagine when you have a support system that big, that it would just make everything so much easier.
It does. It helps so much. And especially if you're in a remote area, for those of you who are in really remote areas and feel like you maybe don't have any resources, please reach out. If Mama Dragons isn't a right fit, there are so many places when we can help you find the right fit for your family, local resources. The problem with most of us is once we're in love desperately with our own child and wanting to support them, most of us, it grows inside enough where we have to find ways to help other moms have those same resources and protect their children. It's a little contagious for most of us. And that protective Mama Dragon spreads to almost all the kids.
Oh, I love that, because I could imagine that it'd be such an isolating feeling. And if you could prevent anybody from feeling that, I could imagine that that's exactly what you'd want to do.
We do.
Rachel, can you tell us about, you mentioned that your oldest is trans. Could you share a little bit more about how you learned that and how your family dealt with it? I think Brittany has a picture of your family that she can pull up too.
Awesome. So when my oldest was 11, she started to really have a hard time. And so, you know, we had a bunch of little kids. She was our oldest. We didn't know how to deal with it or what to do. We kind of assumed that it was just like the struggle of going through puberty and, you know, getting older, going to intermediate school, and that eventually she'd settle in. So we did, you know, good parent things. We got her a dog so she'd have companionship, and we adjusted her school schedule so it would be a little easier on her. And we did everything we could think of, but she was still just turning away friends at the door until they stopped coming to play with her. So she was isolated from her friends. And then she stopped talking at school. Like, she wouldn't talk at all. We knew that there was some bullying going on. We knew just the tip of the iceberg, but we had no idea just how damaging it was. So just to be clear, because I know this can be confusing for people that are not familiar, I'm referring to her with female pronouns because that is how she lives, is as a female. But she was born male, and we assumed she was male all the way up until puberty. And then it took until she was 12 before we kind of clued in to what was going on. And she didn't come to us because she was terrified. She knew what our beliefs were. And one of the LDS beliefs is that gender is eternal. And it's kind of assumed that that means like the sex, like the physical parts that you're born with are who you are. Mm-hmm. And that's not changing. And so as we found out about her identity, it really threw us in for a loop. Like, we had no idea. We had no idea how to help her. but we knew that she wouldn't have chosen it. Like, that wasn't something that she was just doing for fun, because how fun is it to be trans in our society?
I've always had trouble with that argument myself. I mean, if you look at how you mentioned she'd been bullied, and there's, but who would choose to be constantly ridiculed and set apart that way? I that's just never jived with my brain.
Right. It doesn't make sense. But people trying to make sense of it with their beliefs or their closely held values will come up with some pretty crazy arguments.
Right.
Anything to make it make sense to them.
Right.
And so, like, I had a close family member ask, well, are you sure that she isn't just gay, and it's easier just to be the other gender so that she can date? You know, I'm like, yeah, in what world is that easier?
But I could see what you mean, that, you know, whatever way you can make it fit into your box, that.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So it took us a few months. But obviously, the first thing we did, I guess not obviously, but for us, the first thing we did was, okay, this is way above our heads. She needs to talk to someone, because clearly this isn't going well for her. She's not happy. She's completely depressed. She's failing in school. She's, you know, just really unhappy. And so we found a therapist, and that took a little while to find someone that was that we felt was safe, someone that actually knew about transgender teens and what they're going through. And so eventually we found someone, and so we got her into counseling, and then we kind of watched and waited for a few months and tried to figure out what we believed. And that took quite a bit. We had to figure out where we stood on things and how we were going to support her and whether or not this was going to stick. Because a lot of kids that are on a gender journey, they have to try things out. Sometimes they start out thinking, I'm gay, that's why I feel this way. And so they'll identify as gay. And then they realize later on, oh, that's not really what it is. Like, I'm different and I do fit in, you know, in that world, but this is what it is. And so we watched and waited for a while. We didn't understand, you know, very well, but then we started to find good resources, and that took some time. But once we started to find good resources and we started to understand what she was going through, as we read more accounts, like stories from people that were trans and that, you know, actually could tell what it felt like and what they experienced, then we realized where she was coming from and what we needed to do to help her, that she needed to live as female, or, you know, she would have problems probably for the rest of her life.
Yeah, absolutely. I could see how that could take some time, both for you and her, to kind of settle into the role, I guess, if that's the right way to say it. Because yeah. I'm thinking back to my middle school years, that they're so confusing. You don't really know what you want or what you think, and don't even have the words often to describe your emotions, even if you could identify them. So I think one, especially, please correct me if I'm wrong, but from my perspective, being trans seems to be a newer thing. Not, I don't want to say it's a new thing, but not as common maybe as being gay or lesbian. Is that correct to say?
Yes. So there's about 5% of the population, it identifies as LGBTQ. About 0.1%, if I'm correct, I might be wrong about that, of the population identifies as trans. So it's a very small portion of the population.
Okay. Yeah, because I remember growing up seeing like maybe one Oprah of a grown adult who had transitioned, but now I feel like I hear about it much more often and starting younger as children, which I think is great, because I couldn't imagine how painful that would be to live your entire life like that. So I applaud you for accepting her and seeking help and not just hoping it will go away. So
right. And one thing that we found is that a lot of times, especially in the past, trans people would suffer in silence, or they would lose their fight with life. And that's just kind of how it was. That's how they got through, or they didn't. And so now, because society is becoming more attuned to this and more accepting, I mean, we still have a huge long way to go, but because it's starting to be talked about more and the vocabulary is out there, kids are starting to recognize what they're dealing with, realize that they're not the only ones that are dealing with it. And parents are realizing as well and able to provide resources for their kids.
Yeah. Not to say that trans people didn't exist before, but just now that, that we can, that we're just this much more accepting of it and that they feel more comfortable to.
Yes, absolutely.
Awesome.
So,
go ahead.
No, so for our family, it was a huge transition, and not just our daughter. We had to talk with our younger kids about what was going on with our oldest sibling, and that was an interesting conversation, and has continued over a long period of time. Like every time something new comes up, we talk about it again. And we found really creative ways to discuss it with our young kids, but they didn't really have a hard time. They love her, they know her, they knew she was unhappy. They've been really amazing advocates for their sister. It's just part of our life, and so that's been a good and interesting and educational journey for our family. And then, you know, our community. Has also been an educational for everyone that knows us.
I'm sure. How has your experience been in the community and even within, you know, your larger extended family?
So advocate, and we were braced for the absolute worst, especially considering that all of our family is LDS. All of them are believing and practicing in Orthodox. And so that was scary for us. And that's our entire social network. Everyone we know and is, you know, religious. And so that was really scary to us, and it took us a while to slowly come out and be supportive publicly, partly because of our daughter, because of Cindy's preferences. She was really scared as well. But as she transitioned, people have known us long enough to know that we never had an agenda with this. They could see that we were just trying to support our kid. And people have unequivocally been kind and positive. And the people that maybe think negatively of us just haven't said anything and have kind of quietly disappeared. But the people that matter the most to us have all been, you know, really accepting and affirming, and they've changed name and pronouns. And no one said that their kids can't play at our house. So least that we know of.
Well, and even if they did, you don't want them anyway.
Right. Luckily, people like matter most.
Exactly. Marian, has that been your experience in your faith community and your family as well, your extended family?
Our extended family is wonderful. Our family is all very Orthodox and very traditional in their beliefs, but you know, they all know my son and they love my son. And instantly, so between me and my husband, he has 9 siblings. I have 5. Everybody's married. So there's like 28 people to talk to, aside from our parents. And so we decided to send an email just to everybody. Cause it would take us 5 years. We'd still be trying to talk to everybody. And, so we wrote an email, and it was, because our feelings and our beliefs had shifted from the traditional, faith culture that we had been raised in, the letter was a little manifesto-y, just a little, because it was pretty clear. This is how we feel. This is where he is. This is, and we linked, you know, to some great resources. Within seconds of clicking send, my brother and one of my sister-in-laws, you know, were on the phone trying to call me. I had replies back from everyone that were all very, very loving and supportive. We have, you know, while there are some jerks, I like other terms, but while there are some jerky people in our neighborhood and in our community who are outspoken on Facebook, no one has ever said anything rude to us, to our faces. People who know our kid, everyone has different faith traditions. Ours is pretty busy and it's pretty involved. And, you know, our kids, we've always been the ones who are, you know, very active and, you know, they're early helping to prepare and ready. And those have been our kids, and particularly my son, Ford. He, you know, he's that kid. Everyone loves him. And we've lived in the same neighborhood for 25 years. So almost all of our kids have been born in this neighborhood, and they love him and they, you know, they adore him. He's not, there's a trend kind of coming towards kids not coming out, in the sense that they don't do like a big Facebook kind of out thing. All their friends, you know, all of his friends know and love him. He probably will just like send wedding invitations to people who he's never going to do one of those giant coming out things.
Right.
It's not who he is, but everyone who knows him loves him. And we've had, you know, spectacular. He hasn't had any friends that I'm aware of that have pulled away. His best friend who lived next door to us, you know, they've been born together. She and a few other of his girlfriends, you know, fiercely defend him. And I've never heard of any bullying or anything like that. His friends would tell me, and they probably would have taken matters into their own hands, and protected my sweet boy. So
I love that. I think that's how bias and prejudice is fought, just like seed by seed of like, oh, well, you know, I knew Ford and he was gay, and I didn't turn gay and nothing bad happened. And, you know, I mean, not to say that that's just going to eradicate any prejudice, but I think that little by little, it's these little building blocks that's how we fight these things. So
it's huge.
You don't need a giant party. You don't need an announcement. It's just, you just keep living your life because that is who you are.
Yeah, they do. They absolutely do. And I will be the first to admit, as we got into the community, it became really clear that, you know, we absolutely have the vanilla version in the LGBTQ spectrum. You know, a gay male is, it's really boring.
Gay white male.
Exactly. We're just, you know, he is cisgender. It's, you know, it's really, and it became really quickly apparent to us that we needed to learn and understand more about our trans, the trans children in the community and people. And it is spectacular. Any of you out there who do not know any trans people, your life will never be the same. The trans people that I know and have come to meet are spectacular. Along with every other human being, of course, once you get to know, they're spectacular. It's a fabulous community. I joke frequently that it's the greatest blessing I never knew I wanted. And I would never go back. I'm kind of sad I only have one gay kid, but you know.
That's interesting you say that your situation is vanilla, because it feels like our society is more primed for a gay male. That
absolutely
that needs to be like the baseline acceptance. And yes. And now we're expanding more maybe into the trans side, it's like, well, hold on, that's a little too much now. And so I love that you guys are.
Yeah, gender identity can be really tricky because people don't realize there's sexual orientation.
Right.
And that's who we want to sleep with. And then there's, you know, there's gender identity, which is who we are on the inside. It's how we relate to the world. And it can be tricky to figure out that, you know, they're not the same. Mm-hmm. And trans people still have sexual orientations that need to, anyway.
Yeah. But again, why would you choose to have to decide all these things? You know, Jenna has a question here. Could you help us understand the best way to address trans people? I feel very accepting and compassionate of the trans community, and yet I find myself making mistakes regularly. For example, how would you address individuals when you've mistakenly misidentified their gender?
So this is something that happens very frequently. We all see a person and maybe identify, you know, oh, they, like, you immediately, without thinking about it, identify what gender they are and start using those pronouns, or say ma'am or say sir. And so we do. In our society, we make a lot of mistakes. And I always try and go back to what trans people themselves say that they want. And every time they've told me that the best thing to do is just to quickly apologize and move on, and to not make a big deal out of it, and to just say, I'm sorry, you know, or if you have the opportunity beforehand to just ask what their pronouns are, that's an easy way to say, you know, my pronouns are she and her, what are your pronouns? And no one is offended by that. That I've ever met.
Yeah, that makes sense. Just go straight to the source and ask.
Yeah.
And then believe them.
Right. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
That's the other part that's so funny that you sort of have to say is, I've had people who will start arguing and I'm like, just believe them. That's what, this is how they, I mean, what's there to argue about? That's their feelings.
Right. People are so funny.
I know, right?
So we have another question here. I myself have heard it several different ways. Could you explain the acronyms and what all the letters, and then there's a plus sometimes and sometimes there's not. And I truly like to consider myself an ally, and I do want to educate myself and be knowledgeable, but I feel like it changes so much that I don't know.
Oh my gosh, don't feel bad. Don't feel bad. Just whatever you do, don't, like, call people the alphabet people. Don't say that. We had a leader say that to my son, and my husband, it was all he could do to not punch him. But so of course, L, lesbian, gay, or LG, lesbian, gay, bisexual, which is most familiar. And then of course, T, transgender. And then usually there's an A, an I, and a P that frequently follow. The A is for asexual. I is for intersexed. If you're really, really old, like me, and you studied biology in college in the 80s and early 90s, intersexed, frequently the term they used a long time ago and don't use it is hermaphrodite. And those are for people, and they used to just be people who were born with both genitalia, male and female, or ambiguous genitalia, where you couldn't tell if they were male or female.
Okay.
Currently, we're up in the high 80s. We've got over, I think it was over 86 the last time I heard, genetic variants on the XX and the XY chromosomes.
Oh, wow.
So, and they're finding now too that with some of our transgender folks, some of them are actually intersexed. There's, and as far as my science mind goes, I think we're going to be finding a lot more genetic information, of course, as time goes on. Let's see, there's P for pansexual that you'll see sometimes. Pan can be confused with bisexual. So bisexual usually means you're attracted to cisgender males or cisgender females. So cisgender.
No, certainly.
I know.
A whole vocabulary lesson. I'm glad you're doing it, Marion, and not me.
Well, cisgender means your outside matches your inside.
Okay.
So your biological sex matches your gender identity.
Okay. So can I ask a quick question?
Yeah.
So if you're trans then and you undergo surgery so that your outside matches your inside, what are you considered then?
You're still trans.
Okay.
Because it's birth sex, right, Rachel? Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. And like however you were assigned at birth?
Yes, gender assigned at birth is another term that's used frequently. Okay. Because that would be the same. You know, oh, you have a boy. That's the gender assigned at birth, regardless of gender identity.
Got it.
So with bisexuals, most frequently they're cisgender attracted. So they're attracted to cisgender females or cisgender males. Pansexual is regardless of gender identity or sexual orientation.
Okay, gotcha.
And the best thing is if someone says, hey, I'm pan, the best thing is say, thank you for sharing that with me. What does that mean to you?
Right.
And they may say none of your business.
Yeah.
Or they may share more information. But if, especially if it's one of your children, if your child comes out to you and says, I'm bisexual or I'm pan, or ask what does that mean to you? Do you mind sharing more? What can you tell me about that? And then thank you for sharing.
I love that response.
Yeah. Thank you so much. That is what a beautiful story. Thank you. Thank you for helping me understand you better. What more can you tell me so that I can love you better, so that I can take care of you better? Be a better friend.
Absolutely. I think that's a perfect response. What advice would you give? This is not currently my situation. My kids are 4.5 and 3. So and while this is something I could deal with at this age, it's not currently my situation. And I never say never anymore in parenting because I've been proved wrong time and again.
That's smart. You learned that lesson good and early.
What would you say to a mother whose child has is coming out the correct term for all of?
Yes.
Okay. What would you recommend? Obviously not to respond in anger or astonishment, I'm sure.
I think Marion's response was perfect to, you know, say thank you for sharing that with me. The first thing we said to Cindy was, we love you. We don't know what this means, but we are going to support you. We'll be with you every step of the way. And so if I do quite frequently, and I'm sure Marian does as well, get people that come to me as the first contact because I'm so open about our daughter, kind of a by necessity. But they will come to me and a lot of times ask for advice. And usually the first thing I say is, you know, to love them, to ask what their kid currently needs. Like, what do you need from me as a mom? You know, it really varies from person to person, but yes, generally, like, what do you need from me? We are going to love you no matter what. We'll stand with you no matter what you're going through. And then if they've had a lot of trauma, bullying, and exclusionism and that sort of thing, to recommend some therapy, a professional. So we usually, you know, refer them to somebody.
So now, were both of you and your husbands on the same page when your children came out, or was one needing a little more encouragement than the other?
It was kind of close with us. So when my son came out, we're sitting actually right here on the couch, and I was kind of harassing him about a church thing, really bugging him. And he just said, "Mom, I'm gay and I don't want to be a Mormon anymore." And, you know, I hugged him. I told him I loved him. I told him that I'll walk with him no matter what his path looks like. That's the most, you know, making sure your kids know that that's what they really want to know, is that you love them no matter what and that you're with them. And so later that night, since my husband wasn't there, I asked my son, you know, can I talk to your dad? Should I talk to your dad? What do you want me to do? And so I did share with my husband, and I was really glad because my husband is a super calm guy. He's super loving. But he did have a really emotional response. It was a visceral emotional response. And I was really glad that my son didn't need to see that. Because, you know, within 24 hours, you know, that was the first thing my husband said, is he didn't choose this. I'm like, no, he didn't choose this. And so his heart was already there. He's the good cop. I'm the bad cop. So his heart was already there. It's just his, you know, his really conservative mind had been programmed kind of poorly. And
is that okay for parents to need some time to kind of have their heart catch up with their head?
Oh, without question. And that's something you can say to your child, depending on how old they are and depending on their emotional state. So with my son, I could say, listen, your dad and I have had you're our oldest son. We have had a plan for you from before you were born. We have had your life mapped out, and it's going to look different now. So please be patient with us as we're adjusting our mindset. Parents do, and it's okay that you do whatever you can to try and be great right there in the moment with your kid. And like with my son, I said, so anything else? And he said, no. And then I went in the kitchen and cried hysterically, whipping cream, because we had company coming over in 6 minutes. Which he did on purpose. He knew I couldn't say anything because we had company coming over in like a few minutes. But yeah, you're going to feel, and that's what's so great about Mama Dragons, is you can come on and just say, listen, trigger warning, I'm going to be a terrible mom right now. So stay away if you don't want to listen to me whine about this. And you can whine about your feelings. You can pop on and see Rachel and say, Rachel, I've got to say all of these feelings. And that's what the support's for. Because yeah, you're gonna feel stuff.
Would you call it grief? Not for,
yes,
for
absolutely.
Yeah.
Especially in the trans, the T mamas that I administrate, we do, it's a full on grieving process. And we talk about it constantly.
Yeah, not grief over the fact that your son is gay or you have a trans child, but just kind of for your vision of their life as their parent. Yeah.
Absolutely. There's wedding plans. There's all of these things that you have. A friend of mine who has a trans child, Actually, I believe they're non-binary currently. But, you know, all she ever wanted was a little girl. And now that, you know, that child is different. And I reminded her once, like, well, you did have a little girl for a little while. It was probably one of my bad friend moments. I'm like, I don't know. The older your kids go, the more you realize they just do whatever they want. So,
yeah. Not that this is the same in any way, but my daughter has autism, and I identify with those feelings of grief just because things are a little different than I thought. When I first found out, I thought they would be vastly different than they are. And I'm finding that as we go on, things really aren't, I mean, they're like this much different. And so I don't know, maybe that's the case for you, Marian. Like, there may still be a wedding. It just may be another groom instead of a bride. And so still need to do a lot of the things that you thought you were going to do, but they're just tweaked a little bit. And that doesn't make them wrong or bad. It just is. So,
just different. Yeah. I mean, for sure. There was a moment when I said, oh, damn it. Why isn't he a lesbian? Because lesbians can get pregnant easier. I mean, what even is that? Like, that's okay. Save up for surrogacy. You have to go to medical school so you can afford to adopt children. I mean,
I just want to remind all of our attendees real quick that we do have about 10, 15 minutes left. And if you have any questions, to go ahead and get those in the box there. Rachel, I wanted to ask, so your daughter now, mm-hmm. is that correct? That your daughter?
Yes.
She's 16, I believe you said?
Yes, she just turned 16 last week.
Okay, so how has schooling and like her experience in the community changed? Is she still at her school she was at, or?
So she was at a middle school where she was experiencing a lot of bullying and she was really unhappy. And we are lucky to live close to a performing arts charter school. And so when she was ready to come out and live socially as a female, we talked about the possibility of transferring her to this other school. And she really didn't want to do it because she had found a few friends and they were really, really close, you know, us against the world kind of friends. And she didn't want to leave them. But I took her, I said, well, let's just go do a tour and just see. You can just see what it's like. And we walked in and there was, and now I'm friends with his mom, but there was the cutest young man wearing these like 4-inch wedges and like punk hair and just like awesome. And she walked in and she looked at me and she's like, this is home. This is my place. These are my people. And so we, you know, registered her for the school there. And even still, I knew that there were a lot of gay and trans kids there. Well, I knew there were a lot of gay kids there, but I had no idea how accepting they were for trans kids. And so,
awesome.
I called.
I'm sure that's exactly what she needed right at that time.
Yeah.
How awesome for her to find such an accepting place.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you would recommend for parents to look out for? I mean, I feel like this question can feel so stereotypical, like, you know, aside from, you know, a son playing with dolls or something like that. I mean, you had mentioned that, that your daughter had started to isolate and things like that. Are there, mm-hmm. looking back, are there any other things that you see now in hindsight as warning signs that there was something else going on?
For her, it wasn't until the depression hit. She didn't identify as female or feel that she was female until she hit puberty. And that is a really common thing that happens with our kids. The hormones start going through their body and it feels wrong. And they don't know what's wrong, but they're unhappy and everything feels wrong. And so, yes, look for signs of depression. Self-harm is really common because they're trying to cope, and look for signs of anxiety. Bullying is really common because kids are very perceptive and they catch on that there's something different about the kid and they start bullying pretty hard.
Yeah.
So those are all things that I would look for, but honestly, a lot of times you can't even know. We didn't.
Yeah, absolutely.
But be really familiar with signs of depressions in teens. It's not the same as adults. In adults or like postpartum depression, they're not sleeping. I would absolutely get QPR certified, which is a suicide prevention certification. If you have kids, just learn it, because depression in kids is so much different than it is in adults.
Well, it's different than that like angsty teenager thing, right?
Well, there is that little asshole teenager-ness.
I mean, that's what I wanted to say.
and then there's punky teenager. How about punky? Punky teenager, that's normal. And you kind of need to know your kid as well, but be really familiar with those signs. And when your heart tells you something is the matter, we have our mother hearts, our however we call it, our intuition, signs from God, whatever it may be, listen to those things, because those are real and they're true. I'm sure you felt that with your own kids when you know something's just not.
Absolutely.
And they're kids, they don't talk.
Right.
Well, some don't.
So now I'm curious, do you, are you both still practicing Mormons, and are your children as well?
That's a funny question.
I know. How do you answer that, right?
Well, it's complicated. It honestly is
complicated.
It is. My son quit attending. He attended a little while after he first came out, because he thought he couldn't be a Mormon because he was gay. And then when I explained, I'm like, yeah, you can. You can do whatever you want. It's, you know, that's completely fine. And our church leadership doesn't care if he dates, doesn't, you know, we have really good people around us, but there's still such, there's still so many really hard things. We do have two younger boys who like to still attend. Yeah. And I'm their mom and I'll go with them. I don't usually go to other meetings because it's just, I leave crying. I can't tolerate. There's a lot of things I can't tolerate. And so I do my best to be loving and supporting of all of my kids on whatever path and journey they want to travel.
I love that.
I love Jenna's comment that she said there's more than one way to Mormon. And there really is. We don't think that there is. We all grow up thinking that Mormons only, you know, do one thing and do it one way. But we don't even realize that we're all actually doing it a little differently anyway. So in our case, Cindy stopped attending church first. And then slowly over time, my husband and I had more and more trouble. Me, really, I had more and more trouble attending. And we are not currently practicing, but our 13-year-old daughter likes to attend occasionally, and she likes the youth program and the activities. And our 8-year-old daughter likes to attend occasionally, and she participates a little bit.
Nice. I love that you're still allowing the other members of your family to decide where they fit in and how it works for them. And I appreciate that you guys are challenging the viewpoints, and thank you so much for sharing your stories. And please thank your children for letting you share their stories, because I know they're older and they have their own set of feelings about you sharing it, I'm sure. So please thank them for us as well.
Well, thank you so much for opening this up. It can be really, really kind of crazy and hard to navigate when things are just different. And it's not that people are biased or jerks. We just have plans, and we think that everyone thinks and feels like we do. And when our kids don't.
Yes, those kids always are throwing a wrench in the cogs any way they can.
Oh, thank you both. That was so amazing. And I just want to say how lucky your kids are to have you both as advocates. It's really, really cool to watch.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If you like what you just heard, and we hope you do, you can find more of us online at www.okayestmoms.com. We're also on all social media platforms, Pinterest, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at okayestmomsblog. Or if you want to, you can send us an email at hey@okayestmoms.com.